Thanks for tuning in to the Duluth Rundown podcast. We're just about ready for our interview section, but first, a thanks goes out to our sponsor, Austin Jaro Sports. Austin Jaro is located at 1025 West Central Entrance here in Duluth in the Miller Hill Mall area. They have all types of running gear, shoes, clothes, food, and great advice for all types of runners. The store is a key sustainer of the local running scene. They show up and support many Duluth area races and, of course, support this podcast. Thanks, Austin Jaro.
All right. Now we are joined with our interview guest, Alyssa Boitari. Alyssa, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, we're excited. I actually had to look at the lineup of all of our people to make sure that we hadn't interviewed you before, because I could have sworn that we had, because we've known each other for a few years now. And you and I, we always talk running, and we're always, whenever we see each other, like at YF things. And I was like, we've had to have had Alyssa on before. And I was like, I guess we haven't. So,
I'm honored.
Finally, yeah. No, I'm super happy to have you on. So let's just get started with the perfect intro question. How did you get started running? When did you get started running? So tell us about your early days.
So in general, I guess, I was a dancer from the time I was like 2.5, 3 years old on. I didn't really do any other sports besides that. That kind of was my life in a weird way. And I skated and I did other things, but dance was kind of my sport. And then in middle school, you kind of start to expand and they have more activities at school and different things. And my mom always had fun stories about track. And from a young age, I remember hearing about these track stories. For some reason, that was like stuck in my brain, and so I was like, I'm gonna do track. I think that would be fun. I want to be like my mom, whatever it was. And then I started track, and they show you a little list before kind of the first meets, and they explain like, okay, there's like the 100 meter dash and there's shot put and all the things, and like 400 is like 400 one lap, 800 two laps, mile, 4 laps, and I was like, well, not four.
Yeah.
But I could do 1 lap. Like, that would be fine. Like, who picks that? Like, you have the 100 meter dash and, like, you pick the 400 Y, and I don't know.
Well, yeah. The kids that age, 400 is a distance run for them.
Yeah. And I was like, but what part of my, 11, 12 year old brain said, like, 1 lap sounds fun. I don't know.
You just pick the one in the middle.
Yeah. Like, why? I don't know. And so. Yeah. That was my little individual event I picked, and pretty much just loved track. I don't know if it was just because it was kind of a hodgepodge of everyone doing it in middle school or, what it was, but I kept doing it. And then high school came, and that was, like, the one thing I knew I wanted to do for sure. Like, at that point, 6th, 7th grade, I started playing soccer in the summer and playing hockey on an actual team, not just rink ratting and stuff like that. But track was the one thing I knew for sure I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I signed up, and the older kids were like, you can't quit once you sign that sheet. Like, you're not allowed to.
For the season, basically.
Yeah. You're stuck with us. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, and I happened to be the only freshman girl that year that stuck with it. And so our team was super small at Denfeld that year. And so we were super close, and I kind of just stuck with it ever since. So here we are now, I guess. But
and that was that your event all the way through?
400 was kind of that like center point, I guess. I did shorter stuff. I hurdled in high school. That was like the first thing that they put me in was hurdles, because I had been in dance and they could tell that I could do it.
Right.
Was, I guess, the utility player. I don't know. Like, I could do the short. I would do some longer stuff in, end of high school. I did a lot of 800s, 4x8 stuff.
Yeah.
I tried cross country my senior year.
Okay.
Because I didn't play hockey my senior year. So I thought, well, I'll do cross country. Whatever.
Yeah.
But I also did, like, high jump.
Okay.
And high jump was actually the reason that I got sort of recruited. My running times weren't anything recruitable by any means. I just did it because I loved it, and it was fun and I liked my teammates and whatever. But high jump I was particularly good at. I could jump like 5'2"-ish.
Yeah.
Which,
again, the dance stuff probably.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, right, and just I don't know, I think just putting the dance and the body awareness together from ballet and different things, whatever. Totally. But that's what I got recruited for, and then in college ended up kind of narrowing more into the running aspect versus actual high jump.
Well, it sounds like you're kind of a utility player for just athletics in general. I mean, hockey, dance, running, that's kind of all over the spectrum in terms of like skill set.
Like when I, you know, we were telling people that I was going to stop dancing after the season was over and join a like actually be on a hockey team, everyone was like, I mean, it makes sense. You know, you're always skating. You have brothers and cousins that play, but like that is quite like the 180, you know, like what the heck. I don't know, I think I just really wanted more than anything, like childlike faith, just wanted to be a part of it, and I wanted to work hard, and you know, I for better or worse, you know, did what I was told. You know, even in soccer, like I didn't really have all the skills that the other girls had because they'd been playing since they could walk, you know, but I could run. You know, I don't know. So I would play midfield and just kind of run at people, whatever. Exactly. But, you know, so it worked out.
Totally.
Interesting. Did the passion and maybe excitement for dance kind of dwindle as you went through middle school, high school, into college? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, so I kind of a side tangent, I guess. I got a couple bad concussions playing hockey. And so I went back to dance my senior year. And I think, though I had known this kind of in the back of my mind, going back to dance, I realized, like, wow, this gave me such an an advantage, I guess. Even though I started sports late, you know, I was athletic because I had a ton of body awareness. Like, I had that little intrinsic strength that maybe other kids don't have because I was doing all those movements and that explosive stuff that dancers do. And so I think that also kind of gave me, like, noticing that and kind of being in that gave me just the, I guess, the love or whatever you want to call it for, like, exercise physiology, like, all that intertwining stuff with, you know, strength and conditioning and all those types of things kind of spurred from dance in a weird way.
Yeah.
But.
And did you do kind of jazz, tap, ballet?
A little bit of everything. Totally.
Utility player.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of how, that's me. Yeah. I'm a utility player even now. but yeah, I think that also just translated over into track too, like wanting to try, you know, different genres in dance, and then there's different events in track and different things like that. And I don't know, I feel like it was always just a pure excitement of trying something new, which is ironic because I hate that now sometimes. But just trying something new and being a part of it excited me, I think, when I was younger.
So we're going to get into later on, because I have a question for you about this kind of Swiss Army knife approach sort of thing that you've done with your athletic career as well. But yeah, tell us more about kind of how that evolved from the dance world to the running world, and especially like kind of into college. And then what you mentioned too with your major, or what I assume was your major of kinesiology, that interest.
Yeah. I think, I mean, a big pivot point for me, a couple different things, I guess. As a junior, I had a friend, a teammate. I was actually one of my best friends at the time. Her older brother, his name was Matt Kiro. He passed away kind of suddenly. Was a really good runner and hockey player from the area.
I know of this person.
Yeah.
People talk about him a lot.
And he was a couple, you know, a couple years older than me. But like I said, when I first started track, everyone was really close, you know. And so that, and then, you know, like, okay, let's double check everyone's heart, be sure everything's good, you know, like. I was born with a heart murmur. So just things you don't think about maybe because it hasn't bothered you. Like, okay, let's check up on that. And then the concussion stuff. I think I originally, because I was in all these sports and not necessarily just dancing, that kind of gave me an interest for more like athletic training.
Yeah.
Just like the medical side of it maybe. Because I spent a lot of time with the trainer. You know, when I was getting checked out and, you know, concussed and whatever. And I think that sort of evolved as I kind of moved into my senior year, got the opportunity to run and compete at the college level, which I never really thought was possible. Like, I'm not kidding when I say that my 400 time in high school, versus college, there's like pretty much a 9 to 10 second difference. Like, I'm not joking. Yeah. and who knows? But that wasn't really like on my radar. Like, I would have loved to.
Yeah.
But yeah. Whatever. And so I think as I transitioned into, okay, like, hey, someone's kind of interested in having me high jump, not necessarily run. But then also just looking at other things about sport and going back into dance and kind of forcing my body to do those things again, it was like, wow, this is actually super interesting how it all ties together and stuff like that. And even in college, you know, I started out and kind of figured out how to train and run. You know, I was just in a different environment where it's like, well, I have to be better or I'm going to look dumb. So kind of evolving and growing in that and actually finding kind of my niche per se in that middle distance-ish realm on the track and you know, kind of forcibly trying cross country and noticing, like, as hard as it was mentally, maybe it went a lot easier physically for me than maybe a 100 would.
Sure.
So kind of learning that about myself, learning about, like, hey, like, though yeah, I can do like a 200 or whatever, actually doing a mile feels better for me, and like why, and learning about all the ins and outs as I was going through my classes and that exercise science-y background, it just was like so interesting to me in the most nerdy way possible. I don't know.
Do you feel like mentally it's kind of focused you into, when it comes to your running, dialing in some specific distances and not going all over the board a little bit?
Yep. I think as, especially, you know, between actually learning about the ins and outs of your body and stuff through my classes and just the experience in college where I was still that utility player and it was sort of becoming a burnout factor.
Right.
And just like, yeah, I can do all these things, but it's not necessarily the best route.
Yeah.
I think that that has sort of changed my view on it. I mean, even now, like, I thought it was funny when you asked to interview me because I'm like, well, I'm not running right now. you know, like, I'm doing other things. I mean, and I think that gave me permission to do other things.
Yeah.
Because when it becomes that focal point of your life, whether mentally or physically or whatever, it does cause a problem, even though it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And so being able to, you know, skate and play hockey or rollerblade or do all those things and give yourself permission to take that break from running, even if you love it, I think is important. So it kind of all came full circle. Mentally and physically for me, I think.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I think it's so interesting, too, just from a, like, an individualistic standpoint, you know, especially doing interviews with runners. And some people, they are just dialed in. They know what they like, and they've been doing just half marathons for, you know, or something. And so it sounds like you're maybe just, like, I don't know, naturally more of that utility Swiss Army knife anyways, and to a point where you, even if you tried to focus on something, it might be difficult over the long run. I mean,
well, and even like, you know, I, you get done with college, right? And you're, you know, you have this degree and you've learned your whole life how to go to school. And then it's like, well, now what do I do?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of been my story, is like, I am kind of a multi-passionate human. Like I love exercise science, exercise phys. I love coaching. I would probably love to be an athletic trainer or whatever, but thinking about just doing one thing, I'm like, ooh, what if I don't love that?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, being as much as it can be a burnout factor to do a whole bunch of different things and kind of spinning all over the place, I think there is a little bit of an art to keeping doors open and trying different things and, you know, weaving through that a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's it's a fascinating thing, not only with just athletics in general, where we talk about with like kids growing up, should kids specialize or should kids do a lot of different, you know, a variety of sports? And there's great arguments on both sides. And I don't know, and I don't even think that there is a true answer to it all, is, and, you know, is kind of your indicative of that yourself.
Yeah. Well, so. And I don't know, you see that so much now, you know, as I've coached a few different things, you know, at the youth, middle school, high school level, just the interesting dynamic of, well, my kid only plays this one sport, both coming from the parents and the kids, like, well, I only want to do this one thing. It's like, but wouldn't you want to do something else just to switch it up? Or, you know, what about track to help with your speed for whatever, mm-hmm. basketball or football or whatever it is. Like, yep. I'm not just saying that because I'm a track coach. I'm saying in general, like, don't you think mm-hmm. that would help? And just having those conversations,
right.
you know, whether it's a parent or an athlete themselves, and just hearing that is so interesting to me, you yeah. know, and just yeah. my experience and what I've learned both in classes and, you know, just myself, like, I think there is an art to variety. As much as it can be a problem, it can also be a yep. blessing, sort of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. yeah.
So I really want to talk a little bit about your coaching, because one thing I would say is, with already, and you're a young person, so already the varied experiences that you've had, I think have already been very valuable with your coaching perspective, and will continue to be so. Tell us a little bit about how you got into kind of the coaching world. I'm assuming post-collegiate, or did you do something yeah. even while you were still at school?
Kind of both. Uh-huh. So as I was coming into, you know, end of my junior year of college, and not only thinking about what do I want to be when I grow up, sort of like, right. okay, grad school or whatever it was going to be, and just experiencing just kind of a combo of like overtraining and burnout, and just like that heartbreak of, I love what I do, like I love running, but I hate it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such like a heartbreaking phenomenon that goes on, yeah. and just especially when you accidentally wrap your identity around your results.
Yeah.
Which yeah. is so easy, especially in an individual sport, I think. Yeah. You know, like team sports, right. you compare yourself to your teammates, but individual, it's like you're raw and you're out there. Like the time tells all.
Time yeah. tells everything, yeah. exactly. It's hard to like consider a race that didn't hit a goal time as a successful race because you didn't hit a goal time, even though it still could be successful.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Which I think is the beauty of running, because it's so objective, like
yeah.
you can say you're fast all you want, or right. you can say you're good at defense and but not on offense, whatever, yeah, in basketball, yeah. but like right, track exactly. is like, that's what you are, exactly. and you can't, you know, prove it then, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
But it can also just really weigh heavy on you. And so I think yeah. battling all that stuff out and deciding, like, you know, as I'm coming into my senior year of track, just like, I am exhausted mentally, mm-hmm. emotionally, physically, and I just like had mm-hmm. to hang up my shoes for a little bit.
Yeah.
All I could think of, even in that in between of junior to senior year, is like, I just can't wait to coach. Like, I never mm-hmm. want kids to feel this way. It's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And so then, not running track as a senior, I decided that I would, you know, try to give back, sort of. So I went over to Denfeld to my former coaches. I was just like, hey, like, you need somebody. And mm-hmm. so I ended up helping with hurdles mostly that year. Mm-hmm. And then Jeremy Polson, who's on the YAF board with us, mm-hmm. He kind of approached me as I kind of came onto the board, like, hey, I could use an assistant, whatever. And at the time, I was still really working through, like, just that whole heartbreak factor yeah. of just like, man, this is what I love to do. Why don't I love it? And I kind of felt mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. kind of that imposter syndrome of like, right. I mean, I could coach and I do coach now, but I don't like it, you know, and I'm not running. So how could a coach,
yeah.
Yeah.
you know, coach something that they're not doing or whatever.
Right, right.
But I gave it a shot anyway. And just kind of, that totally was a healing thing for me.
Hmm.
Just as far as like taking the focus off of myself and just being able to share my story and kind of be in the mud with the kids, sort of, you know, like, not only did that get me back out on the road, because right. I coached cross country first, mm-hmm. In the fall, coming out of college, but I also just being able to be a part of that process where, you know, you see these kids every day, and, you know, I was new. So not only was I getting to know them, but I was getting to know how, you know, Polson operated and how the team operated, and
right.
you know, smaller school aspect versus Denfeld, but being able to watch them go from all these different things, like, I'm just here because I want to get ready for basketball, or I don't have a sport, so this is why I'm here.
Yeah.
All the in-betweens from yeah, that totally. To like, ooh, now I got a goal and I'm grabbing on to this whole cross country thing, and just watching that process happen, whether or not I was actually a part of them growing and either yeah. getting better or, you know, getting more fit or whatever it was just a really cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah. To see from yeah. the sidelines almost, well, you're kind of in it.
Yeah. yeah. You know, and then track, I was kind of the sprints, hurdles, relays coach, mm-hmm. Up at Southridge. So I'd do cross country and then I'd transition over to track, and just same thing watching that success and like, okay, you guys all ran cross country, or a lot of them would do both. Sure. So now like, oh yeah, you do cross country, but you actually are probably like a 200 meter runner, you know, and right. just, you know, having them find, watching them find their niche and just buying into that. And,
yeah.
you know, I mean, I was there for 4 years. So, I mean, I had the eighth graders that I had, I literally watched them become their own person, yeah. you know, from these tiny little creatures to like, yeah. oh yeah, you're driving to now, oh, you're graduating and you're yeah. going off to college. It's, yeah. it was just, the whole thing was just such a cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I loved it more than the actual sport itself, is just sure, watching that sure. buy-in and that growth. 'Cause maybe I identified with that in my own story.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So senior year of college, you could kind of see yourself hanging them up, getting maybe a little burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
What about after college? What was your mindset? What were your thoughts regarding running in general? And for you, you know,
yeah.
where did you see your running career go from there?
I think it's kind of ebbed and flowed. That's probably the best way I can describe it. You know, yeah. I pretty much didn't, besides doing like, hey, some people are signing up for a fight, like the Thanksgiving 5K, so mm-hmm. I'm going to do it too or whatever. I didn't really actually train for much of anything unless I was, you know, running with the kids. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went by season and kind of just took it easy. And mm-hmm. some days I'd run with the varsity group and some days I'd be back with the young kids, whatever worked. But then I think, I don't know, was it 2018-ish? I contacted Tony.
Seems about right.
Yeah, yeah. And mm-hmm. I just was like, I really want to get back into it. Like, I hate mm-hmm. going through grandma's weekend, not being a part of it, because you yeah. just have FOMO, you know?
right.
And I mean, even going to the track races and cross country races, it's like, shoot, I just want to lace up my shoes. Like, yeah. It got me yeah. excited, and then I'd be sure. like, actually, no, I don't really want to put my body through that. I'm good. But then I was just like, all right, Tony, let's do it. Let's train for the half. And
uh-huh.
I didn't really have an expectation more than anything. I just wanted to prove to myself that I could do it and not feel yucky like I did before, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
I think mission accomplished on that.
Yeah.
You ran really well that year.
Yeah, yeah. I did, and kind of surprised myself. I mean, I think I've always ran the half with the idea of, like, comfortably uncomfortable. Like, I'm not...
Yeah.
I don't really have any desire to be, like, way up there. But it was just the goal of, like, going through the training and... getting through that, getting to the start line, and actually, like, I mean, all those long runs and the half marathon, just keeping your mind there
yeah.
was hard, but yeah. like yeah. so refreshing. Like those runs where you actually feel good, like that makes me feel really like strong and beautiful, or whatever it is, as cheesy as that sounds.
Sure, yeah.
But then like being in the mud and like going through that, like, oh, this feels terrible, or I'm never not running again, because trying to get back into it is just like a big slap in the face.
Yeah. Right,
that type of stuff, like, I don't know. It's such a good metaphor for life, I think. Like,
yeah,
you're in the mud and you really got to grind through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, totally. I don't know.
How was it for you training for a half marathon as someone who came from kind of almost like a multi-track approach?
For
those longer distances specifically.
Yeah. I had done the half a few times throughout college.
Yeah.
Just, you know, my uncle is a runner, and so we would kind of both train separately, because I was training for just cross country, doing my mileage, you know, and mm-hmm. he was training for the half. So we'd both sign up, and one year he was just a little bit ahead of me. The next year we ran together. So I had done it a few times, and I just loved the atmosphere and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was an okay distance, but I was never really, like, pushing through it. It was kind of just a run.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually training for it more specifically
yeah.
and stuff like that. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, unlike even a mile or a 5K, it's like, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
you know,
doing like a longer tempo versus like the shorter tempos we do for cross country, or those long runs where you're just kind of right before the taper, where you're just kind of fried a little bit
yeah.
and it's just like...
Yeah.
kind of just getting to that last little bit before you taper off. It's just like, woof.
Yeah, exactly.
And just, I don't know. So I think it just gave me an appreciation for the shorter stuff, but I think it was also just that accomplishment factor, I think. Yeah. Like, I did that. Mm-hmm. Like, I did 12 miles twice before I ran, you know, or, you know, I did all 13 and I actually subsplit it or whatever it was, you know, it was just that different. Like, I went in with kind of a clear head, no expectations, but even like the training runs, looking back and seeing like, I felt like crap and Tony told me I had to go anyway and I did and look what I did or whatever, you know, that's just such a good, I don't know, it makes, kind of gets you addicted to it again in a weird way. I think that's why runners run, is they just get addicted to that good run, or that like, oh yeah, I finished that, now I want to do it again. I don't know.
The satisfaction.
Yeah.
It's like the discomfort and the hard times are almost the most valuable times, and the things that you look back on and you're most proud of. And so they almost become the most important things in a way, rather than the kind of euphoric runner's high. I feel like I'm running on clouds kind of run.
Yeah. Because I mean, really, if you think about it, that's very selective. Most of the time you do not feel that way.
Yeah, exactly.
I think people go into running thinking like, oh yeah, after the first couple, I'm going to always feel that good feeling after. And I'm like, no, you're not. You are a nut.
Like all these people like on their Instagram posts, these influencers, and then they're showing like their pace and their time. And they're like, oh, and they're all smiling. And they're like, yeah, most of the running isn't actually
like
that.
Or did you actually feel like that? Or is this the delusion? Right. Because you feel like crap. Exactly. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, and I was so raw and real, especially, you know, right off the bat with the kids at Southridge. But I think just even now when I coach kids, I'm pretty real with them. Because one, like, I feel like they need that. And I feel like they need to be connecting with someone that's like, yeah, I have been through that and stuff like that. But two, I think it really makes them look at themselves too. And I don't know if that's just, you know, because I've had coaches that were that way and coaches that weren't, and I liked that or what, but I've been really real with them, both in the fact of like, yeah, it gets hard and you got to take care of your body and all the things, but also just that it's not going to feel good most of the time. And furthermore, the things that you remember, especially, like, I always joke that I'm getting old. I'm not that old. But, you know, the things that you remember are not, like, you know, that game where you scored two goals or that that race that you got this PR. Like, sure, maybe running is a little bit more that way. You might remember, like, your best time. Yeah. But in the end, you're going to remember, like, I remember halfway through, I wanted to just, like, go sit down.
Yeah.
And I kept going. And it was raining and it was windy and, you know, all those goofy things. Or it was so muddy, we could barely stand up. But I don't know. Like, those types of things are the things you remember. And those long runs that you woke up just feeling like, I'm not going to make it through this. And you did. Like, those weird little things, which I think, again, translate running such a metaphor for life, like that translates. You got to hold on to those little things,
because
that's what you're going to remember anyway.
Yeah,
that's what makes you stronger too. You know, like, what's the point of sugarcoating what running's all about, especially to someone just starting off, and especially someone who is interested in other sports that maybe aren't as physically demanding, right?
Like,
it makes sense to hit you straight, you know?
Yeah, well, and I think it's a humbling thing, too, I think.
Yes, that's a good thing, too.
You know, they're not all going to feel this way, and that means you're doing it right. Like, in a weird way, it's kind of an affirmation, but it's also a humbling thing, you know? Like, coaching hockey or, you know, looking at other sports and talking to other coaches that coach sports or football or anything like that. It's kind of one of those things where I think I see it from a different perspective, like, it's so humbling to put yourself out there and quote unquote fail.
Yeah. Kind of get your butt kicked every once in a while is a good thing.
And just be able to be like, but that's part of the process. And I could like go into the nerdy exercise physiology part of it if they wanted to about why that happened or, you know, just like, yes. And that's the breakdown before the slingshot effect, you know, you pull back to go forward type of thing.
Yeah, and supercompensation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
My buddy and I talk about every once in, well, we don't do this as much anymore, but like, especially in like marathon racing days and training, you'd almost kind of almost want to bonk on a long run every just maybe once in a training block, just to
see
I don't know, kind of refresh yourself with it a little bit, just to know exactly where your line is at and your fitness level. Right. And I don't know, just to kind of give you that experience of what it's like leading up to the bonk in case it happens on race day. Like, there's just something about it where, like, oh, I need to reach my level today, yeah, or this weekend or whatever. There's something about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think especially, you know, both, you know, my running story and just my personal testimony in general, I think I've really tried to grasp onto that, like, success versus failure, you know, because again, like, you can go out for a long run and maybe it doesn't go well and it's like, crap, that was a fail. Like, do I have to revert back? What do I do? Where, yeah, am I at? Am I going to be able to do this race? Whatever. Mm-hmm. But I heard a quote a few years back. It was actually when I trained for the half for the first time, post-college, post-break. And mm-hmm. it was something along the lines of, success isn't, you know, success isn't positive and failure isn't negative. You know, it's either the result you wanted or the lesson you needed, failure being the lesson, you know? And right. I think whether it's the sports world or society or whatever thinks that's so floofy and what, but that is so important, I think, mm-hmm. is just like, yeah, I failed, but what you can gain from that still.
Yeah,
it's absolutely not just like I failed and that was a pointless and that was stupid and whatever. You can, you know, that long run that didn't go so well or that middle training session race, you know, that was kind of, you bonked. And yeah, it's like, I needed that. Why? Okay, now I know where I'm at, or now I know what to adjust, or I'm doing too much. Yeah. And even mentally, same thing. And right, I think same goes for life.
And I think too, then we don't even use the word fail anymore with those situations, especially looking back on them. Like, those were actually like turning points. Those were good things for us at the time. Mm-hmm. It might have felt like a failure that day within that time frame, but ultimately they're good things.
Well, and I mean, being able to coach with some coaches who do really lean towards, you know, there's a science to coaching and there's a art mm-hmm. you know, and they're more of the science, you know, and they look at all the exercise phys stuff, and literally you are trying to make your body fail, you know, whether yes. it's in, you know, strength training or whether it's, you know, endurance training, whatever, you're trying to make it fail because that's mm-hmm. how it like rebuilds mm-hmm. and figures out how to do it better next time.
Right.
And so it's a good thing.
Yes.
I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. From the that's scientific aspect, let alone the, yeah. you know,
anytime you go
aspect.
For a run, you essentially do quote unquote damage mm-hmm. to your body, and then your body responds and right. comes back stronger.
Yep.
So do you think, Alyssa, that's part of what maybe attracts you or excites you about running is kind of that process, building that resiliency, you know, or across the years, what has led you to continue to keep running and keep being passionate about it?
I think, yeah, yes and no. I think because I kind of, I'll train a little bit, I'll take a break, I think part of that is just to kind of give myself more balance so that I don't go back into that space of like, mm-hmm. that's what I do, you know, mm-hmm. success or fail, and kind of get into that bad head space. But I think, you know, as a protective mechanism, maybe. But I think the other thing is, I think it just excites me when you can go through a training, you know, a training block, mm-hmm. and ebb and flow, and like what comes out of that.
Yeah.
And like, okay, like maybe I need a little break, but I want to do that again. Or like, yeah. I've had my break and now I miss it. And
yeah.
you yep. go back. And then I think being involved in any capacity with coaching just kind of gets me excited.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
you know, and it's totally, you know, watching them do it, it's like, well, now I want to, you
yeah.
know?
Right.
And I get excited about that. And, you know, as much as I hate, you know, I'm going to start running this winter because it forces me to slow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as much as I hate that first little bit, it's kind of like a holy ground sort of, you know, like it sucks and it feels terrible and it really takes time to kind of settle back into it. But mm-hmm. you can look back at that and be like, yeah. Like, you can see mm-hmm. your progress, kind of like when you mow the lawn. Like, you can yeah. actually see how far you've come, sort right. of.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And I think I really like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know, which is probably why I like coaching. You can see that, and I love watching that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You like mowing the lawn?
Sometimes.
Yeah. yeah. Makes sense.
It is kind of a soothing, satisfying thing, you know? You're like, pop in your
do
headphones.
Do you ever wear your Garmin when you're mowing the lawn and check your stats?
No, I should though.
Yeah, I've done that multiple times. Yeah, go for PRs.
Or we live on a hill, you know, see how hard it really is.
Yeah, exactly.
This is technically a walk. Yeah, yeah. Walk.
But if my GPS heart rate's cardio, actually, yeah. yeah, runners are such nerds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And go on Strava, mow the lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Workout.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to ask, Alyssa, so 2018, Grandma's Half, you go through this training cycle. What was your thought at the end? Was it more, okay, this was fun, it was all great, I worked hard, but now I'm due for a break? Or did that excite you more to keep training? Or
Both. Yeah. Yeah, I remember... Like, obviously, I had taken, where I wasn't specifically training, I graduated college in 2017. Besides running with my athletes from time to time, I pretty much hadn't trained in 2.5 years or so. So mm-hmm. hopping back into it, it was a really long process. And I remember, like, getting to the start line and just really not thinking for the first time ever. Like, I was the type of athlete, track or cross country track, I was in blocks. I'd get to my blocks and I'd be like, I don't know if I'm gonna come out of these. Like, I just like petrified, nervous, yeah. Like just felt terrible all day, whatever. So being able to get to a start line and not feel that way was really refreshing, first of all. But then I pretty much didn't think. Like, I was just really in tune with kind of the step I was in, sort of, and just like looking around and whatever, the whole half marathon. So finishing that was like, wow, it can be this way, I think. And kind of
was that just your own personal expectations? Was that part of the training that allowed you to?
I have no clue. Like, I think I just was super at peace with the process, whether I realized it or not.
Right.
But just, yeah, I kind of just had my headphones in. I, you know, was looking for people I knew and whatever. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I ran far better than maybe I expected to. And I think Tony knew I'd get probably close to where I ended up finishing more than I did, but I think it was just like that felt really effortless, you know. And some of those runs, you know, along the way did feel that way and do feel that way for us as runners. And so that just felt really good to not be nervous and, like, you know, micromanaging your watch and whatever. And so finishing that, it was like, dang, I want it to feel that way all the time. Where one, I'm not nervous, and two, effortless, which is totally not ever going to happen. but then I also was like, I could also take a break and just, you know, I play in a hockey league once a week. I could just skate for a little while, which I ended up doing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, COVID hit and nothing was going on. So I kind of just ran on my own, you know, and just kind of did what felt good or stopped when it didn't throughout that. But that kind of was like the first step of, it doesn't have to be so mentally, emotionally demanding if I don't allow it to be.
Right.
And just having peace in the process. But yeah, it totally sparked my excitement for it personally, as far as putting in the effort and doing the training and stuff like that.
Do you think there's an element of like being on the team, like the track team, that builds up that emotional or mental pressure?
I don't know. I mean, sure, I think we all compare ourselves to other people, especially, you know, in college, you're racing against other teams and similar teams. A lot of times you're like, dang, I'm just always just a little bit behind her or whatever. but I think it was just, and maybe part of it was being the utility player, you know, the people who are continuing to do better and better in the 800, for example, are pretty much training for the 800. They're not doing triple jump and the 200 leg of the sprint med and whatever, you know, like I was. But I think it was just, I was kind of all over the place, one, and I never got to focus. And so it was just a lot of anxiety, like, okay, I got to be here and I got to be there. And here's my sprint spikes and up, here's my middle, you know, whatever. So a little bit of that just like chaos of not having consistency. But I think too, I just got really caught up in just like being a people pleaser, kind of. Like, I wanted to please my coaches. I wanted to do well. I wanted to hit that PR, and when I didn't, it was really, really heartbreaking because that became my identity, you know, how I did as an athlete. And that probably kind of stemmed back from, like, high school probably. I just didn't realize it till college. But just that, like, that's who I am. And when it was good, it was really good. And when it was bad, it was bad, you know, and it really made me look at myself differently.
Right.
But looking back, I mean, I was that way in the classroom.
You're right.
You know, I was, you know, and I think athletes to a point have that type A personality where they're like that. But I let it get out of hand because I don't think I realized that there was another way to look at it.
Right. Right.
So kind of being able to take a step back, reflect, realize like, okay, my identity isn't in what I do or how I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I am who I am. And those things are just kind of an extra little tidbit about me.
Right.
And that success failure aspect, I think, was really important. And I think allows me to, like, do I miss running? And my friends that are on social media always running, do I wish I was doing the same thing they were? Yeah, but I think it's also okay to just accept the fact that, like, that's not going to be my one thing. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, and not compare.
Yeah.
Being able to see that in a different light is important.
There's a lot of ways to be successful. And, you know, that half marathon that you talked about was an example of it was totally successful. And do you even know your time, like, now?
I do, only because I ran last year and I was, like, literally 30 seconds off from beating it.
But still, like, that wasn't the thing about that race that made it successful. It wasn't your time.
No.
Yeah.
It was just that feeling and, like, one, just doing it, because I pretty much feared towing the line for a really long time.
Yeah. Right.
But then, two, just that feeling of proving it to myself and also feeling different than I had before.
Yeah.
How did the lead up then? You said you finished this year, 2022. Did you have a different training cycle, a different lead up, different
I had a really hard time. It was a rough go. Tony's like, I'm never being her coach ever again.
No, that's not true. That is not true.
Which, like, everyone laughs at me, but I think only coaches understand this. Like, I can train anybody in, I don't mean this in a conceited way, I could pretty much train anyone for anything, and like, if I didn't know how, I could figure it out, but I do not coach myself well at all. Just like, it's bad. And I don't listen to I don't even listen to myself when I do have a training plan. I'm always like, Tony, I know the answer, but you have to tell me.
Part about having a coach, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, I know the answer he's going to tell me, but if he says it, I'll listen. So I think this last go around, it was just like, almost like I had done it before and I just wanted it to feel better than it did. But I mean, same type of thing, getting to race day. I had trained a little bit too fast for kind of the middle part of my training block. And just, I was working full time and coaching college track.
You had a lot going on.
Coaching college track. Like, there was a lot. I was doing a lot, and I didn't really take into consideration the toll that just doing a lot has on your body.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like standing all day at work or at a track meet or whatever.
Yep.
And so I think
still
I
still playing hockey.
Yeah, all the thing, you know, whatever. Swiss Army knife thing. That's gonna go on my resume. Swiss Army knife. It was really hard. So I ended up taking like 2 or 3 weeks where I pretty much did not run at all leading up to the half. And then I was like, well, we'll see how this one goes. You know, into it. And I think hindsight, that was actually what I needed. Because I think now that I had run the half since college, I kind of wanted to get, I was competitive with myself, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, but I think
it's natural to.
Totally, and it's totally a good thing, but I think having to kind of humble myself and take that break and go into it saying, like, I have not ran pretty much at all in 2 or 3 weeks. And, I mean, I was active, just not specifically doing the runs.
Which makes a difference.
Yeah, I was like, I have no idea how this is going to feel or go. And it totally made me, like, open my hands and, you know, Jesus take the wheel, sort of. Like, I'm totally out of control, but that's, like, a good space to be in.
Because
then you're not, you know, staring at your watch, and you're not...
like, I'm blowing it, or...
Yeah, and you're not worrying about, like, every little thing you feel intrinsically and all the things. And I think in order to do well and, like, finish and mentally do well, as far as like keeping at it, keeping my faith, finishing the race, whatever. Mm-hmm. I needed that break to be like, I have no idea how it's gonna go, because then I just didn't worry about it in a good way.
Yeah.
And it worked out good. I mean,
yeah.
And just being able to, in the race, like I started with a few people and they wanted to keep speeding up and going ahead, and I'm like, I'm not going to do that because I have no idea how it's going to go. And I wasn't looking at my watch, but just like kind of being in the moment, I was like, probably not smart. And I ended up passing them on, you know, by Glen Sheen sort of. I was like, bye. All kind of that like little oomph I needed.
Yeah.
But just like, you know, I think that's important, is to stay in the moment and breathe.
Yeah.
Which Tony and I talk a lot about, when, you know, when he has a plan for me, it's just like, okay, don't necessarily focus on A, B, or C. Just try to be hands off about it.
Just learning to run by feel. It's a real art. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. And especially if a person is more analytical, that's going to take that person a little longer as well. But everybody needs to do it. Everybody needs to learn how to run by feel and listen to their body and read and interpret all the signals that there's a body sending to you all the time, and every single day is different.
I think that was another aspect of my burnout I had a really hard time with. It was just like times and distances. And you know, I mean, especially when you're racing every week in the and track, for example, you're getting a lot of that stimuli and whatever. But I think it's ironically hard for me to run by feel, even though like as a dancer, you are very in tune with your body. Like it's hard for me to do that, I think, because when I really started to, you know, grasp running and buy into running, as you know, as my own athlete, I was really in the deeps of that stuff. That and guy, so it's hard to undo that in your brain, because you want to grab. I mean, even now it's like I am totally not the same runner. I'm probably a better runner now than I was even in college, than I, of course, was in high school.
Yeah.
Because I'm a different runner.
Right.
But even just the tendency to want to, like, oh, but it felt this way, and this was easy, and this is the pace I could run at. Like, it's so easy to get on that train.
Yeah.
Because it's just you.
Yep. True. Absolutely. So, yep.
Yeah.
So what do you see for the future in terms of, do you want to keep racing? Do you have any bucket list races? I mean, even just for 2023 or beyond?
Well, I think Grandma's Half, the Gary Bjorklund, is always going to be like my favorite race. And not necessarily because I want to have a specific time or whatever. I think I just genuinely, it's my favorite holiday. Like, I love Grandma's Marathon weekend in any capacity. I love it. It's my favorite. And it's a really fun atmosphere to be a part of. Runner or not, it gets people jazzed. Like, it's really cool to watch my non-runner friends be like, yeah, that was really cool. Like, I know, it was awesome. you know, a side story, my boyfriend last year came and watched. He had never been to Grandma's Marathon weekend. He had always been out of town, just so happened. And, you know, dating me and dealing with me as I was training, I was like, you have to... you have to come, you know, and watch, you know, or will you come and watch? And he just like had no, he could not believe that he was going to have to park far away and probably take his bike down the lake walk to meet me at the finish line if he's going to be on London Road. He just like could not fathom that many people were out and about for this thing. Like, he's like, no one's going to be out. It's 6 a.m. And I was like, okay, you know, and then, you know, I ran, he got there and I guess he got there like right before I ran by, cause I was running faster than I said I was going to. And then he was like, oh, you know, gotta go, and made it to the finish line like just as I was coming. And he was like, you were not kidding. And this is so exciting, like watching all these people come by and like, you looked like this and this guy looked like this, but you were running at the same pace. Like, just like all these weird things. It's like, I know, it's really cool. Does it make you want to do it? And he's like, totally no. whatever, but just getting people jazzed up. I love that. So Grandma's is something I always want to be a part of in some capacity, but I think right towards the end of my college career, as I kind of mentioned before at the beginning of our interview, I think like my mom was a really good distance runner. My dad was a really good swimmer. And so I think that I maybe if I have one regret would be I should have tried distance first and not necessarily that I would have liked it anymore and whatever. I probably would have still ended up doing what I did. But I really got, I bought into the cross country and just that training and, you know, the 5-6K distance was fun. And it was something that I could race. And I got good at racing it. Well, one, because I figured it out a little bit better, but then two, I do have some of that combo of slow and fast twitch, so I could outkick people, which was kind of fun. So I would love to race some local 5Ks. I like actually get into a space where I could race them. Because I think it would be fun to see how I stack up. In that.
That seems like that's right in your wheelhouse. Kind of range.
Like if I were to race, it would be that distance-ish. But I mean, last year I was coaching cross country and track at Scholastica. And by proxy, you know, I was going to the meets at UWS and the local ones, let alone everywhere else. And UWS always does an alumni meet every year where they invite the alumni back, and it's just a normal college meet, but they have the option for alumni to compete. So like a lot of the throwers will compete against the current kids, you know, and they do a whole thing, and they do an alumni relay typically. I have just avoided that like the plague. I'm like, I never want to do that ever again. And I think part of me did. I just rejected it. And so last year by proxy, because I was there, they needed somebody. And so they're like, you're going to do it.
Funny.
Like, no, I'm not. I have not run at all. But we did a 4x2 and that was like so fun. Because it was kind of this weird thing of like, I was coaching a few kids that happened to be my athletes at Southridge before I went to Scholastica. They were on the Scholastica team. So not only had I been preaching to them all this time, like how I felt before a race and all these things, right? But, you know, my current Scholastica athletes were there and kind of got to watch. And just like more than anything, no matter how it went, it was kind of like they get to see me in the zone sort of. And like I do still get that nervous and like I do still feel like crap and like just all those weird things that you talk about with your athletes. It was kind of fun to do that. So I think if they do one again,
like,
I do
that.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like, I feel like I'm going to throw up. but I'm not going to. So if they did something like that again, I'd like to do that. But I think 5K, if I could have a goal or, you know, pick something that maybe I'd want to try again, I think it would be that 5K distance. That would be fun. Yeah.
Nice. And what about coaching? We were texting yesterday, and you kind of shocked me with your latest coaching endeavor. Talk a little bit about that, and then talk about what you want to do in the coaching world as well, because I'm curious about that.
So, kind of backtracking a little bit, after being at Southridge for 4 years, which I loved, like, those kids became my kids. Like, we were all far too comfortable with each other. We knew how each other operated. It was, like, the best. Like, everyone said, like, oh, coaching college would be so great for you, whatever. And I'm like, but this might be my dream job. Like, I love these kids. They're my kids. Yeah, like, I don't know. But I got the opportunity going into the, you know, fall of 2021 to Chad Samula called me at Scholastica and offered me, you know, an assistant coach position. And I, as much as I loved where I was at, I was like, that door opened, I have to give it a try. You know, even if I was hesitant, like, I have to give it a try. And it was a super cool experience, both in, like, the learning process, because he trains very exercise physiology based. So, like, I was actually using what I learned and learning things I didn't learn. But just being a part of that level was super cool and a really great experience. I just miss working with kids. And, I mean, when I was kind of praying about it, thinking about it, trying to figure out, like, okay, am I going to re-sign for next year? Am I not? Whatever. You know, I told both Chad and Todd, the track coaches, like, I love this in a whole different way, but I miss being a part of that process of watching a kid come from never doing it to
being a captain on the team.
Buying into it, and whether or not they're ever varsity, like, just watching that progression is, and again, whether or not I'm a part of it is so cool. And I miss that. And I also miss the teaching aspect of it. You know, I mean, I guess that's in my blood. My mom's a teacher, but just being able to, like, teach handoffs and why that's actually important. Like, I had a, I brought some boy 4x1 kids to state a couple years ago, and I knew that they could have a shot at it, but in the middle of the season, I took a video of the race, and then I, you know, stopped how long each handoff took, and I was like, that's literally 3 seconds, like, it, plus or minus. Like, that's a ton of time. Being able to teach that and show them is such a fun thing for me.
Right.
So anyway, I missed that, wanted to work with kids, and I was actually just going to take the fall off, just, like, no coaching, get back into a rhythm, and then, you know, I was kind of a free agent, so figure out where I was going to coach, you know, track or what, cross country next type of thing.
Yeah.
Because that's something I wanted to continue to do. I just needed a little break, and then Eric Lofold, who is the head football coach at Denfeld's, kind of, we were meeting up, just kind of catching up, because I know him. He works for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, so I know him kind of through that. I knew him through college through that, let alone being a Denfeld alum and everything like that. And we were chatting, and he's like, oh, so you want to come, like, you're not going to be coaching cross country, all the things. That, and I said, you know, I really don't have a plan right now. I'm a free agent. And he's like, well, how about, like, strength, conditioning, speed, agility stuff? And I was kind of like, that would be totally a reset from cross country, like, totally random. But
back,
I think,
to the Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, well, I think part of me always wished, like, Friday Night Lights was so cool. Like, I was like, I wish I could play football, which I, like, am so small. I would have just, I could never. but, yeah, so the summer, they started doing, like, a couple days a week situation, just kind of optional for the team, and I got to know some of the guys. And, you know, that first day, he's like, okay, so we got a new coach, and she's pretty tough. And they were all kind of like, she, you know, and whatever. But really quickly, you know, they were super respectful from day one. And really quickly, they kind of, I think because I had a different perspective. I had that track background.
Yeah.
And that I totally didn't look at them like a football player. I looked at them as an athlete, period.
Yeah.
I think they kind of liked that, and it was different for them.
Right.
And then coming into season, I kind of transitioned to, one, I had to learn all the ins and outs of the plays and stuff, so I knew what I was looking for, which was totally something I never thought I'd have to do. Like, now watching football is so different for me, because I thought I knew it, and now I really know it. But then transitioning into working with those skilled positions, those running positions, and kind of more observing this first year, so that now in the future I'm like, okay, now that I know what you guys do for this, maybe let's try this. Or, hey, he actually really needs this because he's actually, like, we have a kid who's one of our best linebackers, but he's a distance runner. And so, like, you can't make him gain.
Right.
One, he's never going to be able to put on as much weight as maybe you want him to because he runs a ton. But, but then, two, like, maybe he should be training this way versus that way, because that'll actually benefit him more in the long run, literally. Right. But just being able to see it from a different perspective, I think the other coaches really enjoyed too.
Sure.
So we'll probably keep continuing to do that, which is fun.
Awesome.
I mean, and what are the odds of this tiny female being on the sidelines actually coaching football? Like, I think a lot of people thought I was maybe just the manager or something because I kind of look like a high schooler, and then I'm like, no, actually I'm a coach, you know.
Were you like at the games this year?
Yep,
because I was at the East homecoming game where you guys
came back and won. It was so satisfying.
I didn't even notice.
Well, we were so bundled up, it was like sleeting.
It was brutal.
I was on the sidelines, I was at the practices.
That's awesome.
All the things, you know. And I was kind of in charge of, like, pregame movement, getting them moving after the school day, warm-up, cool-down, all that type of stuff. And that's another thing, like, full athlete, full circle, like, trying to get the kids to understand a little bit more about their bodies if they want to do this well. Like, you need to move, and then you need to also warm up. You can't just, like, jog back and forth, and then you're good.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's all stuff that maybe isn't taught in all the sports.
Yeah,
right.
Just how important those little details are and how that makes you primed and ready to go.
Is that just for football, or do all athletes from all sports have the opportunity for the strength and agility program?
That's a good question. I think, so football for sure. I mean, it sounds like they're going to have me back, so yay. I'll continue to do that, I think, for a little while, versus cross country in the fall. And, you know, I'd like to coach track because I miss working with those sprinters, hurdlers, relay kids. But, I mean, in general, that's something that I totally love to expand on. I mean, like, my friend Paige Stradiotti, she and her mom have AP training. They have a gym downtown, and she does a ton of that with all sports but hockey, hockey players. And she kind of has the same approach as far as, like, you know, you can bench or squat however much, but if you can't hold a plank correctly, it's not helping you, you know. And that's kind of the, I think, the background we come from as track athletes, because you have to be strong all over.
Right,
you're right.
Otherwise you're going to get injured. I think that's kind of the approach. So I would love, you know, to be able to help her in that in any way, you know, if she ever needed it, or be able to work at Denfeld and, you know, throughout the summer and be like, all athletes, not just football, whatever. Because that would be cool. I mean, really, especially as kids navigate, funny how conversations go this way, navigate that single sport versus multi-sport athlete thing.
Yep.
Being able to help out with that, okay, yeah, like, lifting's important, but so is, like, you know, the band work and the rolling out and the recovery and the warm-up and the cool-down, like, all that stuff, you know, if you can, it's not going to help you unless you do that stuff.
Well, and track and field is the sport for all of that. Mm-hmm. The rest of the world calls it athletics.
Yeah.
We call it track and field, but athletics is the better term for it, because it's, you're teaching the body so many different athletic moves, especially if you're someone like yourself who sprinted and hurdled and did mid distance and jumped.
And
you know,
tried triple jump as a sophomore in college.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. That's a very physically demanding event, actually. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
All the coordination, let alone whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Triple jumpers get beat up pretty good. People who triple jump. That's a really difficult sport or event. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, and I think that a lot of sports, and I feel like I can say this without being offensive because I have been in other sports, but I feel like a lot of sports, whether it's the culture itself or just the coaches, because they've came from, like, hockey coaches have come from hockey coaches, hockey coaches, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's kind of the culture that, no, we've always done it this way, so that's how we're going to do it. And I'm like, but if you do this, and whether or not it's my way, you know, I might see it differently than you or Paige or whoever's coaching.
Yeah.
But if we try it this way and we do more of that athletics approach, even if they're a single sport athlete, they might be better.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or, you know, even just preventing injuries and stuff, being that kids are kind of being demanded to compete at a higher level, whether they're one sport or multi-sport. I think that's so important.
And I know for a fact that many, say, in football players, professional football players, Christian McCaffrey is a running back who comes to mind. He does sprint training in the offseason with track and field coaches, with actual sprint coaches. He does sprint mechanics and all that explosiveness and quick off the line and all that kind of stuff. That's what he works on. And a lot of other skilled positions in football do the same thing.
Yep. And I mean, you look at hockey players do power skating. Who teaches power skating? Figure skaters.
Yeah,
because they need all that power to do all their triple axels and all the things. Or, you know, everyone always jokes about this, but it's actually true. Like NBA, NFL, NHL, soccer, all those types of upper level sports, college and beyond, what do they do in the off season? They do ballet.
Yeah.
Ironic. But just all that little stuff, injury prevention, better recovery, better able to handle a workload, all those types of things come from the base.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same with running.
Lynn Swann was a famous wide receiver for the Steelers in like the 70s, and he did ballet.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, and people joke about that all the time, but I'm like,
it's incredibly athletic.
I am serious.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Being able to do all those little movements and get that explosion and all the things that they have to do the movements that they do.
Totally. Like, really fine, detailed movements. And then, I mean, they leap 4 feet off the ground.
Yeah, you know, flexibility, like, whether or not, I mean, people who can do that are just, like, they naturally have that flexibility.
Right.
You know, like, they picked good parents, I guess. They joke about that in exercise physiology all the time. Like, well, it's genetics sometimes.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But the flexibility aspect, I think it gets lost because no one stretches. I mean, I don't either. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
But just all those things, I think, get lost in the pursuit of, you know, harder, better, faster, stronger. Mm-hmm. And just like running, if you don't have a good base, you're going to fall apart or feel like crap or get injured or whatever it is. Yeah. So
what's next for the coaching world for you then? Continuing with what you're doing now.
Yep.
And see where it goes.
Yeah. And I'd like to coach track, whether it be at Denfeld or somewhere else, in some capacity. I mean, even if I just do hurdles or just do sprints or something like that, like, I love that.
Yeah.
I love being a part of that. And that, I mean, I talked about Paige. She's like my best friend. And I look up to her a ton and love everything that she's doing coming from the same, you know, track cross country background. But I remember when I first signed up, she was one of the ones that said, like, you can't quit once you sign your name. It's there forever type of thing. But then she, you know, looked at me about a few practices in, and it's always just, you know, you're sore and everyone does the track waddle down the stairs the first couple days because you're kind of doing a lot at once. And she goes, yeah, track's the reject sport. If you're not good at anything else, you'll probably find something you're good at here. And I kind of looked at her because she's a freak of nature. She's just like the best athlete ever. And like, obviously went D1 and was all American and all the things in track, ironically, but just being able to say that and kind of look at it that way, it's like, yeah, I mean, you can, because you're strengthening all the things.
Right, and it's good
for everything. So I like being a part of that. I like being a part of that group. And
yeah.
We'll see.
Cool.
Leaving my doors open.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Anything else, Mike? Any other questions?
I don't know. We've talked about a lot, so.
I know. Yeah. Multifaceted conversation.
That's right.
Multi-use player.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you and the rest of the things.
All the things.
Who knows what it'll be.
I know. Who knows? You know, multi-passionate human.
Yeah, yeah, so. Exactly.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah. Sure.
And that wraps up episode number 56 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. I want to thank our guest, Alyssa Boitari, for joining us. Really fun to catch up with Alyssa, talk with her about her just really varied running career and now coaching career. Always has really fun things to talk about with her.
Yeah.
And also want to thank our sponsor, Austin Jaro, and all of our listeners out there who's been supporting us for the last, almost 4 years now.
Yep.
Cool. Well, thanks, everybody, and we'll see you out there.